It's game day again in the Grind City. Game two is coming up between the Grizzlies as well as the Warriors. A bit of injury updates when it comes to two key members of the Grizzlies, plus some lineup changes and the keys to game two. DeMichael, are you ready to go, sir?
It's time, Sean. I mean, this is what we've been waiting on all season long, right? I mean, the 11-game win streak happened. All these big exciting moments, Ja Morant dunking on people, 52-point game. It all built up for this. Golden State Warriors, the class of the West for so many years. This is what it's all about, Sean.
Absolutely, but nothing gets you more in the mood to talk Grizzlies basketball than the most beloved theme song in Grizzdom, the Locked On Grizzlies theme song. Here we go.
Locked On Grizzlies, your daily Memphis Grizzlies podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome one and all to the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. My name is Sean Coleman. DeMichael Cole, gosh dang it, I'll never get it right, whatever. DeMichael Cole here with me, my co-host as always, the man with the most when it comes to information about the Grizzlies, and we'll discuss that in just a moment. Of course, you can find DeMichael at DeMichael C, all his wonderful work at the Commercial Appeal, myself at Grizzly Bear Blue, Stats SAC on Twitter, the show at Locked On Grizzlies, co-host here at Locked On Grizzlies, your Grizzlies every day. Make sure you hit subscribe when it comes to the podcast platform that you enjoy using, free on all platforms, and hit subscribe on the YouTube channel as well. DeMichael, we have plenty to talk about, but obviously a bit of a subject matter that we don't necessarily want to talk about so much. And of course, that is, you know, some pretty hard falls and, you know, some pretty concerning news coming out of game one. Obviously, you know, I said two players, but we'll really get it down to three. Ja Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. both had a pretty hard fall in game one. We could tell that Ja was, you know, favoring his back pretty well for most of the game. Jaren, of course, had that fall at the end. People were a bit concerned about concussion protocols. Let's first talk about the players that aren't on the injury list. Just your takeaway. It seems to be good news, but you just hope there's no lingering effects going into game two tonight.
Yeah, one thing that Taylor Jenkins said, you know, yesterday when talking with the media was he was asked about one of these players specifically, and he basically said, yeah, Desmond Bane, that is, and we'll get to that. But he said that, yeah, he's dealing with the soreness that a lot of our players are dealing with. So I think, you know, it's fair to say a lot of these guys are sore from these, you know, these tough, hard falls they're taking. But Ja wasn't listed on the injury report. I think one of the reporters asked him after the game. I always get a kick out of that because at this point, people who have been covering Ja Morant, you know Ja Morant can fall on his head. And if he finishes the game, he'll tell you he's fine. You know, so after that game, you know, I think he was asked and he basically said, I finished the game. And that was it. He, you know, as he put it, he's a warrior. He's played on concrete, right? That's nothing to him. So you got Ja Morant. He should be good to go. Jaren Jackson, he should be good to go. And that's very important. You know, they're going to have their bruises, but there's also one more, and he's on the injury report, Sean.
Yep, name's Desmond Bane. And, of course, you know, we talk about Ja and Jaren. The reason why we're so interested in them is because of how huge of a game that they had, even despite Ja getting hurt during the game, Jaren getting hurt late in the game. They still finished the game, still performed well, obviously. One person who certainly was not at the same level against the Warriors in game one that he was against the Timberwolves was Desmond Bane. I did think that the Warriors did a pretty decent job of trying to not let him get open looks, but it does seem like that Desmond Bane is dealing with a bit of back soreness. Nothing in particular that I can remember that would have caused the back soreness, but right now it is something he's dealing with. Now, to Michael, for those there, obviously we got new listeners. We got a lot of new folks watching Grizzlies games. When it comes to that questionable designation, what exactly does that mean when it comes to the Grizzlies injury report and players?
Usually when a player is listed as questionable on the Grizzlies, they're most likely to play. It's almost like probable, you know, in the NFL when that used to be a big designation. I don't think they use probable in the NFL anymore. But questionable usually means that a player is going to play. It's just shy of that. You don't say, oh, he's questionable. I see some people do that. Sean say, oh, he's questionable. He's playing. you can't quite do that because we just saw Zaire Williams was listed as questionable before game one due to right knee soreness. Zaire Williams did not play in that game. So while we've seen, you know, we remember when Dylan Brooks was out for a long time due to his ankle injury. In the first game, he was listed as questionable. He played. Ja Morant, he was out for a while earlier this season. When he was first listed as questionable, he played. So usually it means that a player is good to go. And I think, you know, in this Desmond Bane situation, that's what, you know, people are expecting. But like I said, we've seen time to time. It doesn't happen a lot. It's rare. But Zaire Williams, he's the most recent player listed as questionable on this team, and he didn't play in game one.
And of course, let's keep going with this injury report. You know, we've talked about the main guys. You know, you're certainly hoping that Desmond Bane plays. I'll be honest with you, though. If Bane is struggling to move tomorrow night, I know that him not playing would be definitely a big blow to the Grizzlies, but I'd much rather him be certainly at 100% in games three on than less than 50% tomorrow night. I don't necessarily think it's that situation, and I think Bane's going to play no matter what. But my point is that if he is certainly injured, do what you need to do to try to make it to where you can have him at his best availability moving forward. Now, you may not agree with that, DeMichael. I am about to, him being as healthy as possible.
Put him on the court, Sean. It's the playoffs. Don't bother these guys up and rub his back and tell him it's going to be okay. No, Sean, put him on the court. Look, at the end of the day, the Grizzlies got this blessing of a schedule. They got this blessing of a schedule where after Tuesday, no game on Wednesday, no game on Thursday, no game on Friday. You have 3 days off in between. He'll have all the time to rest then. At the end of the day, him just being a decoy out there, if Desmond Bane goes out there, takes seven shots, the threat of him as a shooter will be there. I guarantee you they're not going to leave him open saying, oh, he's 50%. Let's leave him open this game. They're not going to do that with Desmond Bane. He is the biggest threat from three-point range on this team. He is the biggest reason if the Grizzlies want spacing and they want the Warriors to stay out the paint. The Warriors are already going under screens and allowing the Grizzlies to take three-pointers, except on Desmond Bane. So if you want to get some remnants of, like, spacing in this game, Desmond Bane is your best option. Sean, you're trying to butter up to this guy. Look at Desmond Bane. He's this big built. There's no reason for him to sit out.
For all those wondering the stance that DeMichael stands on, here's a little bit of a story from DeMichael's past. DeMichael in sixth and seventh grade was an all-regional point guard when he played basketball in middle school. But his eighth grade year, he actually came up two games shy of qualifying for a third straight all-regional designation. The reason why is because of two grade two paper cuts that he suffered in math trying to get through graded papers, and he had to sit out more than half the season. So if you want to sit here and have DeMichael talk about Desmond Bane being a gamer, that's because DeMichael has experience of what that's not like. All joking aside, I do agree that Desmond Bane should definitely play if he's there. I'm just also simply to the point of, listen, you want to make sure players are at the best that they can be, so I get it, let them play. But the other thing that we'll say is this, is that there are two other players who are on the injury list. And there are two players who I think have been talked about astutely at times, maybe too much value put on them at times when it comes to Zaire Williams and Steven Adams. The point that I'm getting at is lineup adjustments are going to be a big key to watch in game two. We'll discuss that in just a moment. But before I do, I want to talk with you a bit about Prize Picks. Now, DeMichael, you could back me up on this. When it comes to Prize Picks, when it comes to these prop bets, Steven Adams always go the over on his offensive rebounds. Jaren Jackson Jr., always go the over on his stocks. Desmond Bane, always go the over on his points. The Grizzlies are a pretty good choice when it comes to when you need to rely on a player to win you some money, overcoming a certain statistic, the Grizzlies can get it done.
There are some good old reliables. And this series, you have some different ones as well. The Warriors are going under screens. People don't expect Ja Morant to make 2 3-pointers per game. Prize Picks, go check it out, because Ja, 4 of 11 from three-point range in that last game. They keep going under screens. He's going to keep making a lot of people, a lot of bucks
Exactly. And you can get 10 times on any entry, and it's just you versus the projected numbers. And the great thing about it is this, is that for a limited time, Prize Picks has an exclusive no-brainer of an offer for all of our users. Users get $50 for free if a player on your first Prize Pick entry scores a single point. But you must use code NBA. That's right. This is an exclusive offer available to Locked On fans. Sign up today and use the code NBA, $50 for free if a player in your first Prize Picks entry scores a single point. Thanks so much for listening to Locked On Grizzlies. We can't thank you enough for making us your first listen of the day, but there's plenty of other things to talk about. Now, I'm a Titans fan. DeMichael has a history of covering Philadelphia sports. The A.J. Brown trade is still the biggest news story out there in the NFL, but the draft is there as well. Check out the favorite Locked On NFL podcast of your choice after listening to Locked On Grizzlies. So, DeMichael, I had talked about Zaire and Steven Adams potentially, when they come back, having bit roles. Because I want to make a proclamation right now. I want to make something very clear. You know your best eight after game one to play against the Warriors. If there are 240 minutes to be played against the Warriors, these eight players should play at least 220 minutes of them. Ja, Dylan, Desmond, Jaren, Brandon, Tyus, Kyle, DeAnthony. At the end of the day, that's what it comes down to. If you have 240 total minutes to play, they need to play at least 220 of them. Now, we'll get back to math in just a second. One of the things that cannot happen to Michael, and I cannot stress this enough, one of the things that cannot happen, you can't start Xavier Tillman. It worked fine in game two against the Timberwolves. It worked fine at times guarding Karl-Anthony Towns. It's not going to work in this series. X should be off the court, and that's nothing against him. It's just the caliber of team they're playing.
Yeah, it's nothing against him. Case in point here, you just mentioned DeAnthony Melton as a person who is critical to this series. DeAnthony Melton was out of the rotation at the end of last series, but you look at this series, he is important. So it's opposite for Tillman. Last series, important factor. Changed the game in game two, was a starter, you know, for some other games. So with, you know, Tillman in this series, it's not the same. And I think Draymond Green praised him yesterday, said he carries himself like a 10-year vet and things like that. But overall, the Grizzlies were even, you know, in the rebounding with the Warriors. That shouldn't happen. That's not good. The Warriors got 17 offensive rebounds, and this is not – Tillman only played 13 minutes. So it's not to say he was the biggest reason for that. But – you start Brandon Clark, you set the tone. We mentioned how, you know, some people say, oh, it doesn't matter who starts because, you know, Clark is going to end up playing more minutes anyways. Well, the rebuttal to that is Xavier Tillman played 13 minutes in game one. He was negative 10. The Grizzlies lost by 1 point. 13 minutes, negative 10. Grizzlies lost by 1 point in that game. So you know the math there. At the end of the day, Kyle Anderson is a good option to start because, again, this is a smaller Warriors team. You can go with Kyle Anderson. He's 6'9". You know, he's slow-mo for all his limitations athletically. He rebounds the ball really well. I always say, you know, that DeAnthony Melton has the best hands on the team. You know who I think has the second best hands on the team? Kyle Anderson. Those are the type of guys who are critical in a series like this against this team who loves to pass the ball. You need those guys who deflect passes, who can just break up things, take the, you know, the flow out of an offense like Golden State's. Kyle Anderson would be my option first as the starter. You can't go wrong with Kyle or Brandon, but yeah, I'm with you, Sean. Xavier Tillman, nice curveball for last series. This series, it's not the same. And I think Taylor Jenkins used game one as a fill-out game. You know, even Kyle Anderson, we spoke with him yesterday, and I'm struggling to remember his exact words, but he said, you know, game one basically is, you know, it's game one. Like, it's not an indicator of the series. Pretty much like Steven Adams said, it's a fill-out game. So there it is. You know, Xavier Tillman, great curveball last series. This series, he's just not your guy.
So, DeMichael, I'm going to throw out a stat here to you. When it comes to the four-man lineups for the Grizzlies this year, of all the four-man lineups for the Grizzlies that played 15 or more minutes this season against the Warriors. I'm gonna give you a guess or two. Can you tell me which lineup had the best net rating?
Of all Grizzlies four-man lineups?
Mm-hmm. What okay. four players were involved in that? I don't think you're going to get it, but you'll get close.
I'll get close. Okay. I know DeAnthony Melton had to be in there. Was
nope.
he in there? No nope. DeAnthony Melton. See, I'm already off. All right. Let's go Ja Morant, Brandon Clark.
Nope.
Sean, you know what you're doing. You know what you're doing right here.
So the one that won, and it's crazy because it probably happened in a lineup where the game was already decided. Tyus Jones.
Uh-huh.
Jaren Jackson Jr.
Okay.
Desmond Bane and John Conchar.
Oh, great, Sean.
Now, you know what you were doing. All joking aside, let's get back to what was fun. Kyle Anderson, Jaren Jackson Jr., John Morant, and Desmond Bane. That was the best net lineup of any lineup that played 15 or more minutes this year against the Golden State Warriors. The problem with that lineup is that lineup had an 87.1 offensive rating and a 71.9 defensive rating. So that's good, but maybe not necessarily that great.
Yeah.
But the point that I will get at is this, is that actually the lineup that played the most against the Warriors this year was Jaren Jackson Jr., Melton, Morant, and Bane. And we saw, DeMichael, they went to that lineup. They went to that lineup where they used Dylan Brooks as the small ball four. This time around, they went Ja, DeAnthony, Dylan, and Brandon Clark. You can sub in Dylan Brooks all you want to. The point that I'm getting at is start Anderson, without a doubt. I would start Kyle Anderson without a doubt because a couple of other things stand out from game one. When Jaren Jackson Jr. or Dylan Brooks, sorry, I just had a brain lapse there. When Dylan Brooks or Jaren Jackson Jr. were the primary defender on a Warriors player, the Warriors were 9 of 27. Take that ability with the scoring punch of John Desmond, put Kyle in there to make sure you don't have those lapses that cost the Grizzlies game one. And you've got your starting lineup to work off of. Put Tyus in there when you need to. Put DeAnthony in there to DeAnthony Melton in there to get your energy. Put Brandon Clark in there to be your third big. But I would start Kyle Anderson with confidence more than anything because his intelligence and his awareness are going to do a better job, I feel, keeping the Grizzlies from making critical mistakes that wound up costing them game one.
I can see that, and I agree with you. I think Kyle is your guy, you know, and simply because he has those long arms, the activity, he can do those things that the Grizzlies want to do in this series. But I'm going to talk about Brandon Clark a little bit too, because I know there are a lot of listeners here saying, we want Brandon Clark to start. You know, Brandon Clark was the best big on this Grizzlies team in round one. Shouldn't he be rewarded? I'll say this. I wouldn't be surprised or against it if Taylor Jenkins goes with Brandon Clark in this series. And it's a different series because last series I was completely against starting Brandon Clark because if Jaren Jackson Jr. picked up two fouls and Clark picked up two fouls, you have absolutely no front court scoring left and you're in a tough position. In this series, here's the difference. Minnesota top 10 in the NBA. Free throws per game. D'Angelo Russell, Anthony Edwards, Karl Anthony Towns, all those guys are aggressive in making the referees, you know, make a decision. Golden State, more of a shooting team, not a lot of slashers. The biggest slasher in that lineup is Andrew Wiggins, and he kind of has a minimized role. I mean, we saw a lot of his touches were offensive rebounds and spot-up shots, right, Sean? He didn't have a lot of, like, isolations and things like that in that game. Golden State was near the bottom of the NBA, I believe they were around 25th in free throw attempts per game. Jaren Jackson Jr., we saw how that worked out in game one. Jaren Jackson Jr. was not in foul trouble for most of that game. So he's more, you know, active in these games now. But Brandon Clark is your other, you know, big who can get those offensive boards and really make things happen. So I think if Taylor Jenkins says, hey, We don't have to worry about Brandon and Jarrett being in foul trouble this series. Let's throw our two most productive bigs out there and let's go let them eat on the offensive glass. Wouldn't be opposed to it. Kyle Anderson is a great option as well for, you know, the things he can do. He can do more defensively, I think. Brandon Clark can do more of those identity things in terms of offensive rebounding. He's going to roll to the rim hard, which is going to get open shots to shooters and things like that. You can't go wrong with either of those guys, I don't think. But they're both very, very, you know, they're tiers above Xavier Tillman as options in this series.
And to be honest with you, you know, in investing, they have a passive approach and they have an active approach, right? Passive approach is you doing the same routine over and over. And yeah, it may work for you, so you may not want to sit there and touch it that much. An active approach is you wanting to consistently find the best options that are going to work based off what you're seeing out in whatever realm you're in when it comes to investing. I bring that up because that is one thing that I would like to see Taylor Jenkins do. Make more substitutions. Start putting in your best lineup, the death lineup that only played 5 minutes. Good friend of the show, Keith Parrish over at Fast Break Break, does an outstanding job keeping up with the lineups. He brought up a great point. That lineup only played 5 minutes in game one, but it dominated in game one. Taylor Jenkins making more frequent substitutions to basically say, I'm going to show you my best hand, Steve Kerr. When your players are off the court, that should be an approach that he should take and force the hand of Kerr when it comes to his resting. Throw off his routine a bit. I think that certainly would help. But at the end of the day, we can talk about all these different names and things such as that. At the end of the day, there is one goal in game two that I think has to be done, and that's stopping a man named Jordan Poole. We'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we do, one other thing I want to talk with you about, you know, we talked about Prize Picks, but we also talk about BetOnline.net. Listen, the Warriors had this basically the same odds to beat the Grizzlies in this series that the Grizzlies had to beat the Timberwolves last series. Well, regardless of odds, the Grizzlies came off a game one loss last series and put together the most dominant playoff game they ever have in their franchise history. I'd be willing to bet they're looking to replicate that. If you like odds, if you like chances, if you like to bet and wager on sports, DeMichael, BetOnline.net is the best place for you to go.
And there are a lot of good bets out there right now, Sean.
Yes.
We're talking NBA. We're talking MMA. We're talking boxing. There are a lot of opportunities. And it's the playoffs. Rotations are getting shorter right now, which means there are a lot of good bets in terms of, you know, points, money line. Things are clear because you know who is going to be on the court and you know when they're going to be on the court in the playoffs. BetOnline is the best place to go to get those good bets in.
Absolutely. Mobile device, laptop, doesn't matter. The fastest and easiest way for you to bet on all the sports you enjoy betting on is BetOnline.net. Check it out today. Of course, we can't thank you enough for being with us on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. Tomorrow, it'll be either be us or one of us. Obviously, late game going on tomorrow, but plenty to talk about when it comes to the Grizzlies. What adjustments will the Grizzlies make in order to get a game two win? Hopefully, we'll be able to discuss that and much more on tomorrow's edition of the Locked On Grizzlies podcast. So, DeMichael, the end of the day, that game on Tuesday or on Sunday, what stood out is this. I know Klay Thompson hit big shots. I know Steph Curry hit big shots. I know Gary Payton Jr. and Andrew Wiggins did good things outside the box score. But at the end of the day, the biggest impact was Jordan Poole. It seemed like every time that the Grizzlies were about to get a little bit of a stretch going that could really help them grasp the game, Jordan Poole made sure it didn't happen. From looking at the matchups, looking at how things went, how do you contain Jordan Poole just enough to where he's not taking over the game to that level?
First of all, Sean, look where we are. I mean, think about this. This team has Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, arguably the best backcourt in the last decade. Andrew Wiggins was an all-star starter. He was an all-star starter. Draymond Green, I mean, not from the offensive perspective, but the pedigree is there. We're talking about Jordan Poole, a guy who got minutes in the G League last season as the guy who is probably the player who the Grizzlies need to stop right now. And we saw in game one, he was unstoppable. I sent out a tweet, Sean, and our football listeners, you'll understand more than everyone else. But when you watch the way he moves on the court and he dribbles through, you know, defenses, Jordan Poole, that is, it kind of reminds me of guys like Justin Jefferson, CeeDee Lamb, Jerry Jeudy, the way they run routes.
Like A.J. Brown.
A.J. Brown. Sorry. We have some Titans fans that are Grizzlies fans. So I tried to keep A.J. Brown out of it.
That's on mute for a minute.
But these guys who cut on a dime, and he translates it to the basketball court. And it's so hard for bigs. We saw in those switches. It's so hard for bigs to stay in front of him because just the lateral ability to just stop so suddenly, you can't prepare for that. And then sometimes you try to guess. You say, oh, he's about to stop. And you try to guess. And he just zooms right past you and gets an open layup. And it's like, you know, the fan and you're watching, and the fans are saying, how do you let him drive past you and get that layup? Well, he stops so quick. It's hard for, you know, players to guess right. But yeah, getting back to the point, Sean, he's tough. He's tough. He's creative. He's crafty. He's the one guy I talked about how with Steph, Clay, you know, those guys aren't going to, you know, drive into Jaren Jackson's chest and you know, put him in foul trouble. Jordan Poole is the one guy who could do that. But I like his game. He is now, granted, he is the more inconsistent guy if you talk about Steph and Jordan Poole. He's the more inconsistent. You know, Steph, 24 points, you know, you could bank on him scoring somewhere around there pretty much every game, even when he has a typical off night. Jordan Poole, he could come back and score 8 points next game. He is more susceptible to those type of performances. But, Sean, when he's on, I mean, it's almost lights out. But the fact that he was on and the Grizzlies only lost by one in game one has to be a good thing, too, because he's a tough guy to stop.
Absolutely. And the other thing that stands out is this, is that the Grizzlies just gave the Warriors too many chances. Yep. Lapses on defense, 14 turnovers. That doesn't even count the ill-advised shots. But I want to say this real quickly. Parker Fleming of Grizzly Bear Blues pointed this out, and he makes a very good point. I want to make something extremely clear. In this series, if Dylan Brooks is struggling offensively, the hope is not to get Dylan Brooks off the court. The Grizzlies are not better when Dylan Brooks is off the court. He needs to play smarter offensively, but his defensive impact was felt in game one when it came to Stephen Clay. The Grizzlies are going to be at their best this series when Dylan Brooks is playing 35 to 40 minutes. No questions asked. The numbers back it up. The numbers have continued to back it up when the Grizzlies have played the Warriors. But to the credit of those who have talked about Dylan Brooks' game, he's got to make smarter decisions. Make the extra pass instead of the ill-advised shot to set up the best shot possibility as much as possible. That's got to be the goal of Dylan Brooks. Him also being that three-point sniper that he showed in a couple of games against Minnesota would be a huge factor as well. The other big thing for me is you've got to limit the defensive lapses. And I know that I talked about that ad nauseum yesterday. But you see how big of a difference they made. The Grizzlies, multiple times in the last 4 minutes of the game, had the momentum swing their way after making a big bucket. But because of not recognizing where a player was underneath the basket, it wound up not letting them get ahead the distance that they needed to. Making smarter decisions to get the best shot as much as possible on offense, not suffering from defensive lapses on defense. Those two things have to happen against a team the caliber of the Warriors, as well as rebounding the basketball and not letting those second chance points happen as well.
Yeah, it's the mental things, the things you can really control easily, and that's what film is for. You know, Taylor Jenkins said it, Kyle Anderson said it, Tyus Jones said it. They all talked about how watching the film, you see those small little mental lapses, and I think one reporter, I mean, this is how I know Taylor Jenkins really dived into the film, because one reporter mentioned a play where, you know, Ja Morant was standing under the rim and Gary Payton II got an offensive rebound and laid it up. And very particular play throughout the game that, quite frankly, you know, didn't have the hugest impact. But he remembered that play and, you know, kind of explained it perfectly. And when I heard him talk about it, it was like, oh, he's really been diving into the film. But yeah, and I want to touch on your Dylan Brooks point too, because with Dylan Brooks, you know, a lot of people complain about his shot attempts, his make to miss ratio and all of that. And I get it. I mean, his shooting numbers aren't great, but go look at the stats. Dylan Brooks finished +9 because when he is on the floor, you limit Steph Curry, and that gives you the best chance anytime you're playing the Warriors, containing Steph Curry. And we wonder, you know, we're talking about Jordan Poole and how he's going. You don't want to put Dylan Brooks on Jordan Poole and let someone else guard Steph Curry. So there's that too. But he's too important of a player in this series. So you see some people say, oh, you know, take him off the floor and things like that. You take Dylan Brooks off the floor, watch how Golden State scores the basketball in the backcourt. You're going to be wishing right back, put him right back out there to slow those guys down, just like a lot of fans couldn't wait for him to get back in early March when he had that ankle injury.
Be great also if he didn't have a couple of phantom foul calls as well. So listen, there's going to be a lot going on. I know that Taylor Jenkins doesn't call this a rivalry. I'm not to the point of calling this a rivalry yet.
Steve Kerr doesn't either. Yeah.
Because do what now?
I said Steve Kerr doesn't either.
Yeah.
They won't call it that just yet.
No. And due respect to the Warriors, we're not to their level as of yet. We are very competitive against them and for legitimate reasons, but we're not to their level as of yet. But the thing is that I'm ready for it to become a rivalry. I'm ready for this Draymond fallout to occur. I like when Brandon Clark speaks on his mind, speaks to the fact that, hey, this is what I feel. I like the mutual respect that's between both teams as well. But I also like the talking that Steph Curry does to Ja Morant. All around, these are two teams that I do think respect each other and realize how good each other are, and that playing each other brings the best out of both of them. I hope we get 7 games like we did Game 1, but it starts tonight, and hopefully this time will lead to a win, DeMichael.
Yeah, the Grizzlies need this one. You can't lose 2 games at home and go into, you know, Chase Arena expecting to take 2 back. That would be a pretty tough task. So splitting here, and, you know, even if you were to split at Chase, you got home court back, just like that. So this is a big game for the Grizzlies. Listening to the players and coaches, you know, it's always different from how coaches and fans perceive things. Game 1 was just game 1 to the players. And I understand why, Sean, because they have seen this 3 times. Well, twice now. They lost game 1 against the Timberwolves, won that series 4-2. They also won game 1 last season against the Jazz, lost that series 4-1. They've seen this play out where the game 1 winner doesn't win the series. So they're not fazed. While, you know, we've had the conversation about how it's a missed opportunity. Fans certainly, you know, a lot of fans I've talked to feel that way as well. But in the locker room, there's a different feeling. So we'll see how they respond just from the fact that they think that's the case.
Absolutely. And don't in any way, shape, or form feel that game 2 did not have a ripple effect last series. Even though the Grizzlies did not come close to putting together a complete game the rest of the series like they did in game 2, what they did in game 2 to dominate so much, they did it in long enough spurts and the 3 other wins that they won after that to be able to get the series. They're going to want to make the full opportunity. I feel that we're going to see a Grizzlies team focused. I feel the Grizzlies are going to get the win tonight at the FedEx Forum. DeMichael Cole will be there. He will be enjoying the game, covering for us. And I will also obviously be here to talk with you on Locked On Grizzlies with DeMichael in the postgame edition on Wednesday. Until then, for DeMichael Cole, my name is Sean Coleman. Thanks as always for joining us. Have a great one. Go Grizzlies. Keep it rocking, Memphis. We'll talk to you again soon here on the Locked On Grizzlies podcast.